Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Seven Things in the Scriptures That Are Better Than Sacrifice. God says, through the direction to his servants, and sometimes personally, in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, says it directly, there are things better than sacrifice. Seven of them are mentioned in the scriptures, and we wish to consider all of them. And they indeed will challenge us, and I trust be of great interest. I think I'm just going to rejoice in preparing this series of meetings. It holds so much for us. Now, the Old Testament saint was given those sacrifices to please the Lord and to gain favor with him, yes, and to even put away his sins, or rather, I should say, cover over his sins until Christ came to put them away. In Leviticus, that wonderful book of the sanctuary, so to speak, the sanctuary had been completed, and God gives instructions concerning the sacrifices that they were to offer. There was the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Five offerings. You can count them on your hand. Now, each one of those offerings was a blood sacrifice offering, except the meal offering, and it was a companion with the burnt offering. The meal offering was the wheat, the grain of wheat, and it was a companion to the first offering as the burnt offering. Now, the first three offerings are called sweet savor offerings, and the last two are non-sweet savor, because they bring before God our sins and our need of redemption from those sins. Now, God said that when they offered those first three offerings, those offerings that are the sweet savor offerings, and he just gave them the privilege of doing it on their own. He said, now, if you're pleased to do it, if you want to please me, bring these offerings. And they were to use meticulous care, the animals that they selected to be their representatives as they slew them, and of course those animals just pointed forward to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross to take away our sins. Now, the care was to be meticulous in the preparation of those different sacrifices. And I suppose the Old Testament saint might feel there's nothing more important in pleasing God than to bring these sacrifices to him. And certainly we would feel that way too if we were an Old Testament saint, because of the meticulous care that God took in the preparation of those sacrifices. We would gain something of their tremendous importance in the matter of pleasing God and bringing him to realize our love for him and our willingness to give him the best. And then we find out in the scriptures that God himself says that there are certain things that are better than sacrifice. And the first one which we wish to consider today is found in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. If you wish to get your Bibles and read with us, we would be pleased to have you do so. I think probably it would help your appreciation of the subject in hand. Now, I'm going to read the verse that we're going to emphasize and lead up to. This verse is going to be the climax. And Samuel says, and you'll understand when we expound upon it, why he said it. Samuel says in the 22nd verse of the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, listen to his words, and he's instructed of the Lord to say so. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Now, this statement must be expounded. We must understand why he made this statement. The son of Saul, the son of Kish, the first king of Israel, was told to destroy the Amalekites. They were the enemies of the children of Israel, and they were the first enemies that the afflicted the children of Israel when they came out of the promised land. And we read in verse 1 of the 15th chapter, 1 Samuel, Samuel also said unto Saul, that first king, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Listen up, Saul. God has something to say to you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how they laid wait for him in the way when they came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Two kingdoms, the human kingdom and the animal kingdom, they were to be entirely slain. This was the instruction of God through Samuel to King Saul. He was given that charge. All right, they went to the battle. Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 of Judea. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. And verse 7, Paul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul, Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was violent refuse they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried to the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul in the morning, he was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel said unto Saul, Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Had he had disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. He had disobeyed it. Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. They just couldn't kill those animals. They were going to save them for sacrifice. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go utterly and destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? And he climaxes his rebuke with these words. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Oh, what a lesson for us of this day. What a lesson for us of this day. To obey is better than sacrifice. Why does God prize obedience so highly? Well, to disobey God puts him in a very, very bad light. It puts him in the light of insignificance. You can use your own privilege as to whether or not you want to obey God. No, that is not the approach to God. To obey is better than sacrifice. You see, God coordinates a universe. He coordinates our lives. He has a plan for us, for you, and for me. and our lives are indeed ordered of God if we're His own. And if not, we just follow these sacrifices into the New Testament, where we find John introducing his disciples to the Lord, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And I'll tell you, and when you look at that Lamb, and you realize you must offer Him, don't disobey the Lord. Don't offer anything else other than Christ and His precious blood. It's fatal. Now, we like to please God. We like to please our wives. We like to please our husbands, our children, our friends. We like to please God. And many people offer to God their own good works, their prayers, their money, in hoping to obtain favor with God. And God says, "I want your obedience." Now, what does that mean, to obey the Ten Commandments? No, it's to obey Him, to come to Christ and accept Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said on one occasion, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now that sounds like a command, an invitation, doesn't it? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's more than that. It's a command. And those that disobey the gospel according to 2 Timothy will be sent to the lake of fire. God says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's a promise. But it's more than a promise. It's a command. You believe, and you will be saved. And we must obey the commandments of the Lord. And it's fatal not to do so. Now, for the Christian, this is just as true after he knows that Christ died for his sins, after he's trusted his all in all, after he's forsaken all his own self-righteousness. However memorable and however venerable it may be, he's forsaken it, all those good works. He's not claiming the high favor of God through what he is doing. He's claiming the high favor of God through believing Him and accepting His gift. God wants to be, indeed, He wants to be appropriated. And He tells us to come to Christ, and He tells us in no uncertain terms that Christ and Christ alone is the means of our salvation. Have we believed on God? I know it sounds like an invitation, but the gospel is a command. Take my Son for your very own Savior, and you'll be immeasurably blessed. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for this study. We pray that we may indeed magnify our Lord in it. We ask as we give thanks in His name. Amen.